Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 56 of the podcast. It's really good to have you here. I am recording this on Friday, the 7th of April, which is here Good Friday in Ireland, the Friday before Easter. And I believe, yeah, we have a bank holiday. We've got a public holiday coming up this weekend. And it's just such a lovely time of year to be here in Ireland at the moment because the sun is shining and springtime is so beautiful. There's just a lovely vibe going on, lovely flowers and nature, and the days are obviously longer and we've had the hour change again a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, it's just really, really nice time of year. So I know by the time you listen to this, it'll be a week after Easter, but I hope you had a lovely, lovely Easter. And isn't it exciting to be now in that place between, you know, the mid part of spring moving towards the summer? It's just a really, really exciting time of year where that energy is building. And people are making summer plans and there's much more connection and socializing and all that. It's just great. So today I am going to talk about this topic, which is disappointment. And I've titled the podcast Befriending Disappointment. I don't think I've done an episode on this before. I might have done another befriending episode. I was trying to think of topics for this podcast episode and I really feel moved to stay really close to what my values are. And instead of, you know, obviously I can think of like different ways to title these podcast episodes, but if I titled it something like, you know, tackling disappointment or never feel disappointed again or something like that, that's maybe a little bit more clickbaity. It's just not in alignment with how I work. And a lot of my work is rooted in mindfulness and really inspired by some of the teachings of Tara Brach and the real mindful, compassionate approach to this work. So disappointment, I thought, you know, something we can never really avoid disappointment. And I think that's one of the issues is that I certainly have tried to avoid it in the past. And I know that's what people do. But really, when we learn to befriend disappointment, when we learn how to be with it a little bit better, it gets that little bit easier. And then the things that trigger disappointment, they are just easier to navigate in life. So the reason I've picked this particular topic is I was flicking through. I have a journal that is especially for content. So I write down any ideas that come into my head, or if I have an interesting conversation with one of my classes or a client or someone that is relevant in a lot of my work, then I might write that in a list in my content journal. And then I'll take a page in my content journal and I'll brainstorm what I can discuss in a particular episode. And I was kind of just flicking through and I thought, oh, I better record this podcast before Monday because Monday is a bank holiday and I'd love to just take that off and not be on my computer. You know, I don't really have a topic in mind. And I flicked through and I saw a section where I had written down some topics and it just literally just jumped out on the page, which was this disappointment. And I thought, that's a great topic. Let's have a conversation about that. And I've also had a few conversations with some friends about this recently. So I'm going to start with what disappointment is. So when I Googled the definition, it is a noun and it's the sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. Okay, so obviously that's obvious, right? The sadness, the feelings that arise when something we hope or expected to happen doesn't happen. When things don't go to plan, when, you know, when we get our hopes up. And very often when we have, you know, we might have hopes or expectations or even fantasies about things that could happen or stories we tell ourselves, fantasies we tell ourselves. And so when those things don't manifest into reality, then this, a kind of a grief comes into our nervous system, and it can be very distressing. So it's quite a complex emotion, because it's linked to our, it could be linked to our past, and then our immediate past and the meaning we make, and then the hopes we had for the future. So it's kind of like it has multiple tenses, if you will. It has the past tense, the present tense, the future tense, all in this emotional and meaning-making experience. So disappointment is, I think it's very, a very, very complex experience to have as a human, psychologically, mentally, emotionally. So it's worthwhile breaking it down and thinking about, you know, how does disappointment feel in our bodies? How do we be with it? What meaning do we make from it? All those things we can start to think about. So when I think about disappointment, it, you know, for you, the listeners, and for me personally as well, obviously I've experienced a lot of disappointment. I think everyone, it's a very normal part of life. But it comes in very particular kind of circumstances. So, for example, it will show up more often when it comes to the topic of like looking for jobs or dating and relationships or any kind of opportunity or creativity or something where you're trying to create something or move towards something, or even a new house. I know a good friend of mine recently got let down with a new house that she wanted to buy and was hit with a lot of disappointment. And that's, you know, very, very hard, because it's not, you know, it's not like someone has died or some awful thing has happened. It's just that the thing we wanted doesn't happen. Obviously, if someone does die, there's a huge amount of disappointment. It's a whole other kind of, you know, experience of it. But when it comes to these kind of good things, opportunities, it can be difficult then to be with the difficult feelings, because sometimes we can then tell ourselves a story that we're not really worthy of the disappointment. Like, what are we sad about? The thing didn't even exist. But the reality is, if you feel the feeling, then the feeling is there. So I also have written down here in my notes the word desire. So desire is also a very interesting experience psychologically, I think, and emotionally, because desire is the feelings that we have that drive us to want something. It's the wanting of something that doesn't yet exist. And desire can also be quite difficult to be with, because, you know, we can create stories in our head or project out into the future, worry, start anticipating disappointment, or we go into total fantasy mode. And so it's also quite complex. It can be kind of easier to be with desire, because with desire, you still have the possibility of the thing that it could manifest. And I think actually, what's that writer's name again? The guy who wrote The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho. I heard him, maybe it was in The Alchemist, I read it this years ago, and I thought it was genius that he said, it's easier to actually like really be with your desire for the future than actually go for it. Because if you actually go for the thing that you're wanting, so I think in his case, he was talking about being a writer. If you actually go for the thing that you're wanting, you risk not manifesting that. And then when you don't manifest, or if you fail, you have to be with all of the shitty feelings that come with disappointment and failure and, you know, things not working out the way you'd hoped. Whereas if you just stay in the hoping and the desire, you can just be with the fantasy. So I think if you move, if you do journey the piece from desire to manifesting, and then it turns out it's disappointing, I think you're great to do that. I think you're, it's super brave, you know, it's a very powerful thing. There's a lot of courage involved. And you're putting yourself out there in the world. And yes, there is disappointment to navigate, but at least you're not just hanging around in desire and fantasy, you know? So that's the thing about disappointment, is that it takes away the possibility, and then we're left with the stark reality. And very often the reality can be a stark reality. So when I think about this for myself, and a couple of conversations I've had with some friends recently as well, something that can be really difficult when it comes to disappointment is this anticipation of disappointment. So if you have had a lot of disappointment in your life, or there's just, even if there's disappointment in your family system or your lineage, or just like, I don't know, maybe a string of failed relationships or failed job opportunities or bad dates or whatever the thing is, or just, you know, you're looking for a new house. I know in Ireland, there's a lot of people navigating a lot of disappointment when it comes to the housing market. You know, that can really, what can happen then is we have so much of it then that we internalize it, and then we kind of anticipate disappointment constantly. And I know myself, that was the piece I really struggled with in the past when I was faced with difficult things, was this thing that my brain would just project into the future and just like it was just this almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy where I would just project disappointment onto whatever the thing was, dating, jobs, business, whatever. And I would then just like, you know, be in disappointment before it even happened. And if you're emotionally and mentally in disappointment before the disappointing event even happens, you're then not in like a good place to be present. So if you are, say, journeying a creative journey or in a business journey or looking for the house or looking, you know, to date somebody, like how can you be fully authentically yourself when you're just in this disappointment kind of pool, right? And all of your energy is going to be in that space, and it'll be very difficult to act from a more optimistic, more authentic, more fulfilling place for yourself. So, you know, it, like, I don't have an answer to, I certainly don't have an answer to these difficult, complex emotions and things, but I just think it's worthwhile pausing and reflecting and thinking about, how do I feel when I'm disappointed? What do I do with disappointment? Where do I go in myself? What stories do I tell myself? How do I treat myself when I'm disappointed? Do I blame myself? Am I nice to myself? Am I kind? Can I be present? And I think one of the best skills you can learn in life is to really be present. And it's not easy, like, to be present and to be with what is when disappointment visits you, as though it's, you know, a visitor, a guest, like in Rumi's poem, you know, where he talks about the different guests, the emotions that come to visit. I would love to encourage you to think about is, like, what are the things you are wanting to go for in your life? What are the risks, the exciting things, the scary things, the big, bold, brave things, the small, brave things, the things that, you know, might end up making you feel disappointed? But is that the worst that could happen, that you'd feel disappointed? What's the best that could happen? Maybe the best thing that could happen is that you get the thing, right? Or that you just keep going and then get the thing eventually. And so you get to decide, this is the important part, you get to decide how you want to be in relationship with disappointment. Disappointment doesn't have to control your day. You get to decide how you be in relationship with it. And if you choose to completely distract yourself and move on to the next thing, great. But I would encourage you to allow yourself to, as I said at the start of this episode, befriend disappointment and give yourself permission to feel disappointment and not make any meaning of it. Just be with it, allow it to be there, self-care through it, take the bubble bath, go on the walk, chat to friends, have a cry, bake the brownies. Just do the things that you need to do to sort of support yourself, to soothe and calm your nervous system and allow yourself to grieve, because there's grief involved in it too. And through doing that, you start to build safety with disappointment. You start to have capacity for disappointment. You start to take responsibility for disappointment and not project it onto others or create stories with it. And you start to learn that, you know, it's actually working something within you, that this disappointment is a sign that you really cared about something and that you really did have your hopes on something and that something does really matter to you, and that you can stay, when we stay connected to our disappointment, we also stay connected to what it is that we want, to our desires, to our hopes and to our dreams. How can we possibly be in authentic alignment with our hopes, desires, and dreams if we don't also have space for disappointment? And I know that's really shitty, but that's also the reality. And one of my favorite quotes from Richard Rohr, who's one of my many favorite spiritual writers, he says, when you really face your reality, that's where you meet your God. And, you know, I encourage you to think about God in what, like, a higher power or your spiritual life, like whatever that is for you. So you're your higher self. Like, so when you face your reality, that's where you really meet yourself and you really meet your God and your magic that is in you. And so I think it's also important for you to take ownership of how you would prefer to be in relationship with disappointment and give yourself full permission to do whatever it is you need to do and not be perfect either in disappointment. It can be quite a messy process. It takes as long as it needs to. The same with any kind of grief. And to go really gently on yourself and go easy on yourself and to not be alone with it either. To, like, share with your friends or a family member or someone you know, a support person, a therapist, a coach, so that you're not carrying it by yourself either, or even just journaling about it and just really, really letting yourself be with it. And then end of story. It doesn't have to mean anything. It doesn't have to mean that you didn't do enough, or, you know, that you're never going to be able to achieve the thing that you're looking to achieve. It's just disappointing. And end of story, we can draw a line there. And then the last thing I'll say is, if you do find the experience of disappointment very crippling to the point where it does stop you from doing things that you want to do, there could be other reasons for that. You know, it could be something in your family lineage, an ancestral thing. It could be an unprocessed event from the past, either in your own personal life or in your family life. Or it could be the way that you either directly or indirectly learnt about disappointment. So it would be worthwhile also reflecting on your history with disappointment and what meaning you make from it. And, you know, anything that you remember from your childhood or your past that might resemble the emotional experience of disappointment for you. And I know I can go into a lot of my own story with that. Things that don't seem like such a big deal as an adult, but as a child, they were quite, you know, difficult. And the disappointment as a child can be very, very difficult. And so sometimes children can absorb these adult type disappointments that are kind of, you know, normal disappointments for adults, but maybe not for children. So that's something to consider too. And if you're interested in exploring this further and you'd like some support with it, this is a topic that I would help my clients with. So you can, yeah, I have a waiting list for one-to-one clients at the moment. So you can head on over to the link in my show notes to apply for one-to-one coaching with me. And that is it. I'm going to keep this episode short because it is now the end of a Friday before the bank holiday weekend. And I wish you a lovely, lovely rest of your week. And do keep me posted with this one. Let me know how you get on. And I wish you lots of gentleness for navigating your own relationship with disappointment. Lots of love, and talk to you soon. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.